Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the second Sunday of Lent. Our gospel this morning is from St. Mark. Bishop, if you would please proclaim that for us now.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no fuller on earth could bleach them. Then Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were conversing with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He hardly knew what to say, they were so terrified. Then a cloud came, casting a shadow over them. From the cloud a voice came, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with them. As they were coming down from the mountain, he charged them not to relate what they had seen to anyone, except when the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what rising from the dead meant. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As we put this gospel in context, the reading for the second Sunday of Lent is always the transfiguration of Jesus. And even though we go through the different liturgical cycles, the different Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, they recall the transfiguration in fairly the same way.
Yes, it's a very critical point, which brings the three beloved disciples, Peter, James, and John, with Jesus to witness these things, as they were also present at other significant moments. But what is really significant is the context or the placing of this gospel around other events where Jesus had predicted prior to this that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be crucified and rise on the third day. And Peter, of course, said no. He said, he said, no, it can't happen. And really rejecting that announcement that these things had to happen. And of course, we remember the words of Jesus, which were very strong and firm to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like man does or humans do, not the way God thinks," which is significant for us. And then later on, he takes them up the mountain and he's transfigured before them with the presence of Elijah, representing all the prophets, and Moses, representing the law, and really fulfilling all of that, that they're certainly Elijah and Moses and Jesus are in conversation, which shows the beauty of that rapport between the prophets, the law, and Jesus himself as the fulfillment of all that. And so they see this, and of course then they want to stay because they realize such a fullness of life there. And this is in reference to or in preparation for them accepting the resurrection, not just the cross, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, but also his resurrection. And then following that, of course, they go back down the hill, down the mountain, and head toward Jerusalem to the fate of Jesus and the fate of the apostles and the rest of the church. The rest is history.
As I was reading that, it mentions that God's voice is present in the narrative of the transfiguration, which happens only a couple of times in all of our readings during the year. It happens at the baptism of Jesus and during the transfiguration.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's that "this is my beloved Son, listen to him," that call to listen. And, it's such an important aspect of our of our faith life, and for us as Christians in a particular way to listen. But every person of faith, every person who opens themselves to the presence of God has to listen. And that's the life of grace, that it's not just that I can rationalize everything, that I can understand everything from a human perspective. Otherwise, there would be no faith, because faith means I'm open to the other. And if I'm open to the other, who is God, then I also have to open myself to listening. Also, in the first reading today from the book of Genesis, we see Abraham hearing God tell him to take Isaac, his son, and to offer him as a holocaust to God. So he's listening to this. The beauty there is a man of faith, as the father of faith, is that that Abraham listens. He doesn't just hear, but he listens, which means he becomes obedient. And he listens again when he says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy." When you put it in context of what does it mean to listen to God, I think if we just pause for a moment maybe and look at that whole scenario there, that listening is different from hearing. But there are certain things in our life which prevent us from really listening. One thing could be our own agenda, our own way of seeing things, where we're not open to God, we're not open to the other. Or we may do a selective listening, you know, something that I hear or I think I hear. It's always a very delicate thing what I actually listen to. If it fits what I want personally, then I accept it. If I don't like, or it's going to cause me some kind of a conversion or some kind of a change, and that's important during this Lenten time, if I hear the voice of the Lord and listen through the scriptures and through the voice of the church, and if I listen to that and it causes me discomfort and even a conversion, then it could be that this is really the voice of God. But if I'm selective in that listening and I say yes to this, no to that, then I will never discover totally what God wants of me. When we go back to the beauty of Abraham, our father in faith, he listened to God totally. In an absurd, what we would consider an absurd situation, to take your son and offer him in sacrifice, his only son. He was willing to do that because he trusted, because he had faith. He didn't trust in himself and his own way of seeing things, but he trusted in God. And so he prepares for the sacrifice. But at the same time, God prevents it and says, don't harm the son. And he also listened there, because if he had said, well, wait a minute, you told me once, and so he starts arguing, that's not the way the scriptures presents it to us, but he listened in both accounts. And then Isaac, of course, continues on the heritage, and we're here today. But I think it's that selective listening that we have to be very careful with. So if we go to the gospel today, and even prior to the gospel, when what I cited earlier, when Jesus predicted his crucifixion and said that the Son of Man must suffer many things greatly at the hands of others and be crucified, and Peter said no. Well, Peter refused to listen. And so you can see that Jesus reprimands him by saying, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking differently. You're not open to grace. You're not open to the plan of God for yourself and humanity. You're not open. You're listening to what you want to hear. And what you don't want to hear, you say, no, it can't happen. And so Jesus tells him to get behind him. When they go up the mountain at the time of the transfiguration, again, this is my beloved son, listen to him. So this is really the art of our life, is to listen, to have the predisposition of faith, an openness to God's word, to listen to his word, and not to filter it through what I want or the mentality that I have formed through whatever means that's come about. So where I block out what God really wants for myself or for my life and for others through me or through you or, you know, anybody else. It's a beautiful life to listen to the other, to God. and not put obstacles in the way.
And speaking on a personal note here, I think those obstacles come from not having time to listen, not really focusing and understanding that there's a difference between hearing, which is what our ears are built to do, but really listening, which takes more effort, it takes more dedication, it takes more concentration to do that. And during Lent, we need to make that time to listen, but also that time for quiet time and reflection. That way we can go beyond just hearing and really, really listen.
And the whole thing, you know, listening also involves discernment. I mean, all of these parables from the Gospels and the stories of faith throughout the Scriptures, they seem like they're kind of cut and dry, but you're dealing with human beings here. So obviously there was more of a discernment part of that. Even Mary at the Annunciation, how can this be? I mean, in a sense, that's an introduction to discernment. How can this be? Right. We have to use our minds to say, well, you know, how can this be? But there's always that step of faith beyond that. Well, even when it doesn't make sense, the step of faith says, you know, not my will, but yours be done, as Jesus said in the garden, or Mary, let it be done to me according to your word. So all of those servants of the Lord throughout time, throughout the history of faith, have really given themselves over, as Abraham did, as eventually the apostles did, as so many saints have throughout the centuries, you know, not my will, but yours be done. And that's because they were able to listen to the voice of God, and it resonated with the truth. The fact is that so much in our world of relativism, there's my truth and your truth. So, and there, that's when we totally block out God, when truth is relative to me and it's not found alone in God.
Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation on the second Sunday of Lent. Stay with us. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And Bishop, before the break, we were talking about the gospel passage and the one line in particular where God said in regards to Jesus, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And we talked about listening and making sure that we stay open to what God is saying to us. And last week, you had mentioned the Holy Father's Lenten message, what Pope Francis is saying to us during the Lenten season, and how we should make our hearts firm. And of course, this involves really and truly listening.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, we, as human beings, we form our minds, our conscience, and also our heart. And, you know, our world is today really, I think people are more and more prone to try to rely upon their own powers. And that's not just individually, but as a group, as a community. It's like we get into sort of an idea of how can we solve the problems of the world. And certainly, you know, proportional responses to the evils of our world are certainly appropriate as long as they're proportional. But there's such a fanaticism, even in the area of violence. You know, it's just there's so much of that we have to take a step back, especially, and I think Lent's a time, one of the times to do that is to step back and say, what is this all about? Who are we? Because there's certainly evils in the world. There's certainly evils in people's, in our neighborhoods, in people's lives, and they certainly need to be addressed proportionately. But at the same time, forming hearts that are worthy of the Lord, we have to take time to do that as well. We can respond in a human way to certain things, but the Christians, men and women of faith, really need to look at their hearts. Where are they? Are they really focused on the one thing that is necessary? As Jesus said to Martha about Mary, who listened to the word, the words of Jesus, to form our hearts. And what does that mean, or how do we do that, I think is what we're getting at and what the Pope was getting to in his message. For individual Christians, we can't just always think of it in terms of everybody, you know, because we can get lost in the everybody. So looking at our own selves as we face the many temptations in the world, the reports of religious persecution of people of every faith, and in particular as Christians, we look at the horrible things that are happening in Syria and Iraq and throughout the Middle East, but others as well are suffering in such a way. But we can, especially here, seem so far removed from that we can almost become indifferent, and that's something that Lent cannot awakens us to, not to become indifferent. And so to be in communion with the church, to listen to the prayers of the church, to pray with the church, that we pray together for a conversion of heart. And again, that means that we participate in the spirit of Lent in a true way, not just through external religious practices that we historically have had in the church, but the real meaning of Lent is the internal conversion, which means listening to the Word of God, which means spending time quietly in prayer, being together with the church and joining with the voice of all of my brothers and sisters, lifting them up to God in prayer for the needs of our world, the needs of humanity that is suffering so vividly today through so many images that we see.
Well, that's it. We are seeing so many images because of 24-hour news channels and social media. It never stops. And so we're much more aware of it. But I've noticed on the prayers of the faithful during daily Mass, it's to pray for what's going on in our world, not just our city, but what's going on in the world. And if we all lift that up in prayer, as you said, then perhaps something will change.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a phenomenon to be a part of a communion of people, that we have the same spirit, that we want to communicate, especially in addressing these issues. So it's a time for Lent, during Lent, that we certainly look at our own faults, our own sins, our own needs, and ask forgiveness for that, first of all, but also to realize that we're there to suffer with and to pray for and to be in communion with those who are suffering, people that we don't even know, but that we're with them as a communion of church. And so to offer certain acts of sacrifice, self-sacrifice, fasting, prayer for the needs of a hurting world. And, you know, we could put names on that ad infinitum of what does it mean, a suffering world and suffering humanity and so many sins that are there. It's just astronomical. But to pray together for all of that.
You know, Bishop, there was one thing I wanted to ask you. When the Pope is saying, make your hearts firm, one thing that came to me was while he was saying, make your hearts firm, he's not saying to have a hard heart, because hard hearts oppose what he's saying, but we should gain strength in the firmness of our hearts? Is that what he meant?
It's a translation. I was recalling that the seminary that I went to in Rome, the motto for the seminary was Firmum est cor meum. And as we walked in the doors of the entrance to the seminary, it's embedded in the marble there in a crest. And every day, of course, we had to walk through that door, and it's always there, Firmum est cor meum, which means my heart is firm. But on bad days, we would say my heart is hard, which if you think of it, firm and hard, firm means I have direction. I'm firm in my faith. I'm firm in my convictions. I'm firm in my desire to follow Jesus Christ, etc. To harden our hearts, which is also part of the beautiful psalm of Psalm 95, to harden not your hearts means don't block out the voice of the Lord. Don't block out the Word of God. Don't block out your brothers and sisters and their needs. Don't harden yourself against others. Hardness of heart really means, I think in many ways, it means the individual selfishness, a narcissism. It's all about me. And so that's when my heart is hard, because nobody else can fit into it. It's all mine. But to be firm means I have a firm direction, a firm purpose, in order to listen to God and to discern good from evil in my own life. So I think the Pope is asking us to do that. And one of the ways, as we just talked about, is to pray together, to be in communion with one another. And this is the great call to ecumenism, to not be divided among ourselves, and what we can do to further advance that and to be in beautiful rapport with all men and women of faith. Interreligious dialogue is also an urgent need, so that we can all be together to face the evils that that are part of our world today. The other way of really firming our hearts, again, not making them hard. In fact, this is that would be a way to remedy a hard heart, is to look at the needs of others on a local basis. You know, whether it's in the family or through just assisting in social charity acts here in Corpus Christi and beyond, in the different communities that are served here in the area. I mean, there's so many things, so many beautiful agencies. We have Catholic Charities, we have Mother Teresa, but there's Metro Ministries. There's so many others there where people come in need, and it's easy to drive by and just either say, well, you know, I can't get involved, or I don't want to get involved, or even worse, to judge, to stop the car, get out and go in and help and meet some people. It'd be a beautiful thing to do. And that is part of making our hearts firm in charity and not hard against a neighbor or anyone like that.
And also, when you talked about our neighbors, we look around our neighborhood, maybe there's somebody who's elderly or sick or going through a difficult time with their family. What can you do to help? Well, can you do anything? Well, give them a break, you know, maybe babysit or bring them some food or just spend time talking with them, interacting.
Again, that makes the heart firm and not hard. The hard heart becomes more hardened when we see the need and we say no, that it just continues to build up a blockage there, almost in the arteries. You know, you block the blood, the flow of the blood. The harder the heart or the substances or the plaque, harder it becomes, the more blocked it becomes. So our no's to the needs of others, our no's to acts of charity really block the heart, and the heart becomes firm. I mean, I'm sorry, the heart becomes hard and less firm in its direction towards God.
Right. And you would think that if we're saying no, chances are we might have heard something and we didn't really listen to answer positively to be able to say yes.
Well, you know, this thing of listening, and we have a little bit of time left, but one of the things that I see, because, as you mentioned, news media earlier, is that there's so many opinions out there which might sound good to a certain person, whether we're talking left, right, conservative, liberal. I mean, that's the gospel's neither one, not conservative or liberal. It's Jesus Christ. All faith should not be left, right. It should be, you know, God. It's about God. So I think some of the hardness comes there because when you listen, I mean, let's be honest, when you listen to some of the news media night after night after night, your mind gets worn down to even listening. That's all because it resonates. We've formed our mentality. And it's these hardened mentalities that can create a hardened heart, a closed heart, a heart that cannot listen anymore to another. And I'm talking about across the spectrum. I'm not talking about one side or other. But I think we've got to be very careful because, you know, where's the voice of God? It's in the gentle breeze. And sometimes these messages that we're listening to day after day on these news reports become harder and harder and harder and harder. And they're blocking our arteries of being human beings, open to listen to God and to be of service.
Sometimes we just need to turn down the noise. Sometimes we just need to turn them off.
Right. And so Lent is about a conversion of heart to listen to the right thing, to form ourselves in the correct way, which is with the Word of God.
Thank you, Bishop. If you would now close with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son, be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, Amen. One God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.